Good day, patrons. Roger's telling us what he thought of the Super Bowl. Roger.
I thought it was a great game. Like, I only watched the last quarter, but I was like, well, this is good. It's like, it isn't a lopsided game. I kind of wanted the, maybe like most people, I wanted the Patriots to lose just because I think they're getting too big for their britches, as it were. Overall, I thought it was pretty impressive. Like, it was a close score. It was, again, lopsided.
It wasn't just a foregone conclusion.
So you felt that, I mean, granted, the one against the Falcons seemed like the Falcons were going to win until.
Yep. But now, the NFL has done a much better job in staging its games so that they seem like they're actual competitions, unlike the old Super Bowls. They just stacked the deck. Good day, Sarah Lane.
Good day. Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Mondays is a band.
So I was sitting over there and I was like, this feels weird.
Oh,
I didn't
really
want to sit. I'm so used to not.
You just couldn't get comfortable?
Well, I mean, I was comfortable, but I just felt like, I don't know. Anyway.
It's good to have multiple sets.
I mean, yeah, this is just basically me turning the camera a little bit. Not as...
If anyone wants to know what Sarah's talking about, if you're a patron, you can go to patreon.com/DTNS and find the YouTube video for Mailbag, which I have not made public, but I'm going to do that right now. And then you can just go to our YouTube channel too.
Is Veronica not with us?
Oh, no, you didn't see that in Slack? Yeah, she got.
I didn't. No.
Someone gave her a meeting.
Oh.
Even though she said she can't have meetings at this time and she couldn't get
sorry. Yeah, I do see that. I missed it because I was looking for a discussion thing. Well, okay.
I'm going to make Mailbag behind the scenes, part of the behind the scenes playlist on YouTube. All right, now it's going to be available on YouTube for everybody, so... Everybody can see what Sarah's set looks like. Although the only people who can hear us right now are probably patrons anyway. So there you go.
Well, it looks so good in the one shot. Now I'm like, this is a little, but I don't want to get any closer.
Yeah.
Get a little closer.
Don't be shy. So Friday's show is not suitable for most advertisers.
Maybe I didn't do Fridays. I did Thursday. Oh, it's so hard.
No, it's every day.
No, it shouldn't be because there's one episode that didn't have it last week, too, I think.
It's crazy.
When they do it before the show even starts, like even before it goes live.
Yeah.
Like it's, I don't understand. How does that work? What are they scraping? Is it because I put too much text in the thing?
That's a
is it put a link?
No, like it should. I mean, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't. That alone should not cause videos to be constantly. We did write fake porn videos in the description. That if we weren't constantly getting demonetized, I could see. Oh, maybe that set off the algorithm. But just talking about that is not unsuitable for advertisers. Come on. It's ridiculous.
I think someone's there just waiting for it. Sorry.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? Not me.
Yeah. Well.
Meow.
I guess that's better.
You just need... Like another poster.
This is what happens when you're not a set designer and you're
right.
Like, I think I got it. And then you're like,
looks
super professional.
You could put a large mannequin right over to your right shoulder.
Yeah.
Do you have a mannequin? Or perhaps Kim Cattrall?
No.
So her brother's still missing?
No, her brother's dead, actually.
Oh, no.
What?
Kim Cattrall's brother died.
Like,
After he was missing?
Well, it was there was a short period where she's like, he's missing. We don't know what happened to him. And then this morning, the news came out that he was dead.
Oh, this is today's news. My goodness.
Yeah. It's very recent. And then the last I had heard, we didn't know why, but I haven't been following it since this morning.
Well, that is not good.
Yeah, and it does make my mannequin reference less funny.
Nice. Yeah.
I'd forgotten about that story till you mentioned it, Roger. That is my constant mannequin go-to, though, anytime the word mannequin comes up.
I've probably seen that movie. I know what movie it is, but like, I can't remember anything about it.
It's where the mannequin comes alive, but only to this one guy who works in the department store.
And they fall in love. I mean, I know the premise. I just don't remember like the movie itself.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the fact that, you know, it was her.
Sarah Jessica Parker, she was heartbroken. Oh. That's just their relationship.
Yeah, because they're friends.
No, they're not friends.
Oh, they're not?
No, the subcaption, this is, you know how newspaper or news sites post other links related to the main story?
Uh-huh.
This one just says, Sarah Jessica Parker, this is a video, says she was heartbroken when she heard Kim Control never considered them friends.
Oh, okay. See, you can't just half mutter a headline like that. You got to give us the full context. Changed everything when she did that.
It sucks.
It does.
Especially when, you know, things like that with family. And the friendship thing, too, I guess. I don't know. I laugh when I'm nervous.
If I go to the side a little bit, it'll be better.
Will we need to tell people this is not a Tide ad? Just so they're sure.
That's not a Tide ad.
Okay, you didn't watch any of the Super Bowl commercials. That's why you don't get that.
Sorry.
But no, I kind of expected that. Sarah, I can't tell if she didn't see the ads or if she's not listening.
I saw it. I thought it was clever.
Okay.
I did. I mean, you know, go Tide.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, yeah.
Wait, is that right?
I want to be on this. Like, is that weird? If I'm like right aligned, it looks better to me.
It gives you lots of looking room.
Looky loos, lollygaggers, rubberneckers.
Not looky loos, looking room.
Oh, looky loos, rooms.
It's a little weird. In the chiclet. In the chiclet, yeah. It looks off.
All right.
Although it does look rather dynamic.
Yeah.
Like you're like
maybe it's just because you're too far to the side. Maybe if you were more,
you know what? If you tilt the camera, the problem is that it's kind of keystoned off because when you're dealing with angles that way,
yeah.
If you put your shoulder in the other half of the frame, like kind of center it on your armpit, maybe that would work. Like almost go over where the fishing pole is bisecting your arm.
Like this.
Oh, that's too far. That's centered. There. Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, okay. I see what you're doing. Yeah. Now that you stood there, I see what you were trying to do. You can try it. You know, I don't mind.
Yeah.
See how many people complain about it.
Then we'll know.
Yeah. It's only one or two, then it's probably fine.
Stupid sets.
We just won't call any attention to it.
Well, somebody on Twitter said to me, hey, Sarah, put your art up. And I was like, excuse you, I've been working on it. So now he'll be like, well, I mean.
And you'll be like, why don't you come over and
don't
put it
quit
up?
Your day job.
Weren't you just like, I'm in my minimalist phase.
That's
you
right.
Got so much time to tell me to put it up. Why don't you come over and hang it up for me?
Yeah.
Why don't you do the artwork first?
Why don't you make some original art?
Yeah.
Why don't you look inside your soul for inspiration and create a meaningful work of art that touches you deeply and send it to me and I'll throw it on the wall.
Maybe have some sort of hidden subtext about contemporary social political discourse.
Yeah, exactly. On the wall. You're back.
Pick up. Right, I'm going to start broadcast.
All right.
Recording.
Probably audio listeners don't appreciate that. I'm sorry. Whistling into the mic. Whistling in the dark.
Yeah, you know, with just a little, this actually is not a bad shot. Just needs a little love.
Put a little love in your shot.
Don't know who sings that.
Put a little love in your heart. I can't remember now.
President Rene James.
Oh, that would be Dolly Parton. How did I not remember that? It's because I've heard so many covers of it.
Yeah. I did not know that was the original.
Yeah. 1993.
Like Aretha Franklin or something? Like, there was definitely a radio.
Oh, Jackie DeShannon. What? See, this is goes back to the Google excerpts thing. The Google excerpt says song by Dolly Parton. But no, that's not the put a love, little love in your heart that we're talking about. It's the 1969 Jackie DeShannon. That is not useful. Roger, are you taking us live?
Yeah, I took us live 2 minutes ago.
Oh, I didn't hear it. We're live.
Hi.
I said I'm going live. He said, okay.
Oh,
like, we're live.
I thought Sarah said I'll be right back. That's why I said okay.
Okay.
That's fine. I'm glad we're live.
That also happened.
I don't know. I can't remember 1 minute to the next anymore.
It doesn't matter. We're old.
Oh, you know what? This is.
I just want the early bird special, the potted meat.
Potted meat.
I don't even know what that means. I've never had it.
Served in the pot. Potted meat product is usually just means that it's a bunch of meat that was put into a little can. It's like tinned meat.
But not quite Spam, which is
so it's mushy, easy to spread on a cracker.
Like pate?
At least if I'm thinking of the right thing. We have 1 minute.
1 minute warning. Ooh, I ate a leftover sandwich from my Super Bowl sandwich party.
Yeah.
Yesterday, and I'm not sure it.
It made it through the.
Not sure
that
it
was
aged
a
well.
Wise decision. Okay.
I mean, it was in the fridge, but it. Yeah.
Still, yeah. Well, it depends on how long it was out.
You should eat it. Don't waste it.
Yeah.
That's me. That's where I fall into trouble. I hate wasting food. So
me too.
Even if it's 4 days, like 4 day old Chinese food.
Yeah.
Take out Chinese food, I'll eat it.
I know. Eileen yells at me all the time about that. She's the opposite. She doesn't eat leftovers at all. It's like when she eats a leftover, I'm shocked. I'm like, oh my God, you're eating leftovers?
The only thing I remember.
All right. It's 1:30.
All right.
Here we go. Daily Tech News Show is powered by you and you with a bunch of other people, but we definitely need you. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. Do it now. This is the Daily Tech News for Monday, February 5th, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline 2.0, I'm Sarah Lane.
2.0, you say?
Well, it's in beta. It's in beta, nice. But it's getting there.
Moving things around, looking good.
Gonna push out an update soon, yeah.
Veronica Belmont had to cancel at the last minute because she's at work and someone scheduled a meeting, to be honest. I mean, that's really what happened. So we'll get Veronica back next week, but our producer, Roger Chang, is here because I scheduled him to do this.
Yes, I am always here.
Yeah.
I think, yes.
I put it on his calendar. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Opening statements in the trial between Uber and Waymo began today. Testimony in the trial is expected to last 2 weeks. Waymo accuses Uber of benefiting from autonomous car trade secrets taken by former employee Anthony Lewandowski. Waymo lawyer Charles Verhoeven said, "We're bringing the case because Uber is our technology to win this race at all costs."
Uber is cheating, he said. Oh my gosh. Samsung Electronics Chairman J.Y. Lee has been released from prison after an appeal. Lee was sentenced to 5 years for perjury, embezzlement, and bribery. It was all part of the whole scandal around the president in South Korea last year. Lee's prison term was reduced to 2.5 years, and he was given 4 years probation, as well as a suspended sentence.
Chip company Ampere, run by former Intel president Rene James, is out of stealth mode and introduced its first chip. It's a custom core ARM 8A 64-bit server operating at up to 3.3 gigahertz with a 1 terabyte of memory and a power envelope of 125 watts. No pricing info yet, but Ampere says its chip will offer unsurpassed price and performance exceeding all high-performance competition.
Yeah, more ARM stuff and a former Intel person getting into the game to boot. Interesting. Now, here are some more top stories. Broadcom has increased the amount of stock it will offer per share of Qualcomm and kept the cash offer exactly the same as last time in what it calls its best and final offer. Now,
like
we all know.
Dealership.
Yeah, I know, right? Qualcomm's like, we don't want to buy the car. We were just cutting through the parking lot on our way to the liquor store. And Broadcom's like, no, come on, come on. And it's not even like buying a car. They're trying to buy Qualcomm, which starts to get the metaphor really weird. But Qualcomm rejected the previous bid, suffice to say. It doesn't really want to sell. But Broadcom made a compelling offer, and now the board has a fiduciary duty to consider this new offer, and it's a pretty sweet one. If Qualcomm were to accept the offer, though, it could cause problems for Broadcom's pending acquisition of NXP, because the NXP shareholders are now saying, you undervalued NXP. If you're going to offer Qualcomm all that, you should have offered us more, too.
You know, these stories are always funny to me because on the surface, you're like, if a company doesn't want to get sold to another company, don't they just say no? You know, if they've got a good enough reason, but it's all about the board. And also you've got, if somebody has a certain amount of shares, you have to listen to them. So it's like this hostile takeover stuff where the company's like, no, you've undervalued us. We won't do it, but we might.
Yeah, well, because they want to avoid a minority shareholder lawsuit is one of the things. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things, to give you an example. So if Qualcomm just said, we don't care how good the offer is, we're turning it down, a bunch of Qualcomm shareholders may be like, hey, we could have gotten really rich if you'd accepted that offer. You have a duty to make us rich, so we're suing you now. So they have to have a reason why they're going to decline it that would hold up to scrutiny. And this offer is a pretty sweet one, so it'll be interesting to see if they're able to hold the line.
What's your take on how this will shake out, guess?
Say that again. You broke up a little bit there.
Oh, sorry. What's your take on how this will shake out if you had to guess?
I feel like Qualcomm is likely to turn it down. I feel like if Qualcomm has any way they can turn it down, they will. They don't want to be part of Broadcom. Broadcom made a compelling offer, though, so I won't be shocked if Qualcomm accepts it. I will be surprised, though. I expect this to be turned down again.
Intel showed off its new AR glasses to The Verge's Dieter Bonn. They actually put together a really nice video. The glasses, called Vaunt, look just like normal eyeglasses for the most part. The electronics inside are contained into two modules built into the stems of the glasses, displaying information in your peripheral vision using Bluetooth to connect to a phone. Vaunt works by reflecting the image from a low-powered laser off the lens and onto your retina, whereas interact with voice or gestures.
Yeah, so this is kind of a different take. It's different than what Magic Leap wants to do in its technology. It's a little more limited. Its effect is more similar to what Google Glass does, but with a different way of presenting it, so that it looks good not just on the shop floor. It looks good everywhere. You just look like you're wearing a pair of glasses. They even made sure that the components that they have in the stems are towards the front, so that you still get, you know, a flexible stem when you're putting it around your head and it feels normal. Dieter Bohn, from The Verge, who wrote this article, seemed impressed by them. I guess he got a look at them back in December.
He also, you know, there was a lot of emphasis in the review on these glasses don't look weird. You know, they look normal. You don't feel like they're too invasive for you. Other people don't think like you're like secretly recording them, because it's like they're way more simple than some of the offerings beforehand. And, you know, that might be what makes the next glasses stick, is like not doing too much, not being too invasive, and not, you know, kind of like walking around with a billboard saying, I'm wearing smart glasses.
Yeah. And they don't have buttons. I think that was one of the keys. Yeah. You either, they said they're working on head tilt gestures, which I think is interesting. So I could imagine a bunch of people walking down the road and they've just got regular looking glasses on, but they're all like, no, skip.
Right.
But they also voice activated. So it's kind of like wearing a Google Home on your face, right? You just talk to it and it will do whatever you need it to do. And there's even, they were talking about context sensitive appearances. Like you could set it where if you're out and about and you look at a restaurant, automatically information about that restaurant would show up. If you look at a theater, automatically movie times show up, so that you don't have to do anything. It's just kind of aware of what kind of information you'd need and it pops it up.
And I guess, as I understand it, the way that it's, you know, it has to read your retina in a certain way. So you have to look at a certain angle for anything to show up anyway. So if you wanted to just wear these as sunglasses or, you know, eyeglasses, that's also an option too. So it's not just like this crazy thing you're wearing all the time.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about reading your retina, because it's not scanning you. and that's another point that he made in this article, is it's a very low power laser. So yes, laser shooting into your eye doesn't sound good unless you've paid for LASIK. But this is the kind of laser that can't do much of anything. And it's being reflected. So it's bouncing off of the glass into your eye, which is why it's able to do what Sarah's talking about, where it can go away and not get in the way of your vision. And again, we give only Dieter Bohn's word to take on this article, but he said it did work really well, except that sometimes I thought I should look down to see the information and it would go away because it was trying to get out of his way.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing, it's like, if, without trying it myself, you know, I can't be like, this is a great idea or this is a terrible idea. You know, I thought Google Glass was really cool. I didn't have a pair. I thought that they looked kind of silly, but you know, there was some magic to be, you know, once you wear them, you're like, oh, okay, I could see where this would work. So, you know, maybe less is more, sort of in the sense of like tech clothing, right? You don't want it to be too different than like what your, you know, fashion and your sort of everyday thing already is.
And this is a logical step, right? So it looks normal. That's a big deal. And even if it can't do as much, you'll start using it. And that's actually what you need for products to evolve, is a user base. So if you can get a user base of people like, yeah, okay, it's kind of silly, but it's cool. That was the smartphone at the beginning. That were tablets at the beginning. They were kind of cool. They didn't do everything you wanted. And as more and more people use them, they developed them to be capable of doing more and more.
And when you're wearing something, there's probably such a thing as just too much, right? Something like contextual Yelp reviews when I'm looking at a restaurant is like, yeah, I would want that.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm going to be looking it up anyway. But yeah, like touching your glasses to take photos, you know, going about your day. It's like, cool, but most people probably won't use that. And so it seems weird.
I want it customizable. I want to have the reviews or not, depending on my preference. I want a customizable where I can have Foursquare reviews instead of Yelp reviews, right? But that's all down the line. I think these are really interesting. And as we mentioned previously on the show, Intel looking for investors that can help them get these out into the sales channel. Intel wants to make money off this. They want to sell. They want to sell the hardware parts. But they're not a go-to-market company. They even say that in this article. They want someone to help them with that part of this. Apple and Cisco are partnering with Allianz to offer cyber insurance to companies that use Cisco ransomware defense in certain Apple devices. So Apple and Cisco, if you remember, partner up on engineering. Apple has been doing a lot to make their way into the enterprise more and more. And this is a very compelling way to do that as well, to say, we will, if you use our Macs, iPads, etc., and Cisco's ransomware defense on those Macs, iPads, etc., we'll give you a really good deal on cyber insurance. You might get a low deductible. You might get no deductible. And they're offering support in case of an attack. And I think for some businesses that aren't as conversant with this sort of thing, but worried about things like ransomware, I'm thinking hospitals, right? That's a big enterprise, but they aren't a tech-focused enterprise. They use tech and they need help with that. This kind of insurance might be pretty compelling. Aon is going to provide security evaluation and support as well. So this will be Allianz offering the insurance, Apple and Cisco backing it if you use their stuff, and then Aon sort of the front-facing that comes in and implements it.
I mean, if this is like an add-on service, for example, because it's tax season, it's like TurboTax, we'll do that. We're like, well, do your taxes. But then if you want to pay for like auditing insurance, like that's also bundled in, like you're probably fine. We want to make sure that you don't get in trouble. But if you do, it's sort of like, you know, an added, you can sleep at night knowing that you're covered by us. Are there any other companies that are doing this in a comparable way to, you know, selling to enterprises specifically?
Well, I don't know. This is a big new area is selling cybersecurity insurance. A lot of people think this is going to be a booming market. What I found interesting on the consumer side is if you recall last April, there was a company, and I think it was, what was it? International. I can't find the name now. It was an international insurance company started offering cybersecurity insurance to consumers so that you personally could get a little bit of protection. So yes, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising, right? As there are attacks more and more often, it makes sense that you will, in fact, see insurance companies come in and say, hey, there's a significant amount of damage being done in an area. Our job is to help people secure themselves and feel comfortable that they will be okay if they get attacked. So we should provide insurance in that area. And that seems to be what they're doing here.
It's almost like our subscription discussion from last week where it's like, well, one time, you know, security software an option, you know, maybe the subscription model, you know, for, you know, you pay a little bit and just make sure you're always going to be okay. And you're going to have the latest tools to defend yourself from stuff like this is
coin it.
It's well advantageous.
Presented by Geico. It's AIG. That was the, company and I just found it. That last April announced they would offer products that offer consumers safeguards against hackers and cyber criminals who might steal personal data called Family Cyber Edge. Includes public relations and legal services, as well as at-home assessment of family electronic devices. Wow. I love the public relations.
It's like buy our product. You won't get hacked. But if you do,
AIG is just
a PR nightmare for you.
That's the interesting thing. AIG is just offering consumers insurance. They're not providing cybersecurity. They're just saying, we'll help evaluate you, you know, just like any insurance company wants to keep you healthy and keep you safe so we don't have to pay out. But we're not providing a product. Whereas Apple and Cisco are like, we're going to give you the products that we say are super safe. And then the way they would say it is, and we're so sure of it that we're going to provide you insurance as long as you pay a little bit of money to help protect you in the case of the unthinkable.
It's like a money back guarantee, but you're paying.
You're paying.
Pixel Visual Core, Google's first custom imaging chip that shows pictures in HDR quality, has been enabled for more than just the camera app and will now be available on third-party apps, starting with WhatsApp, Instagram and Snapchat, and then, you know, photo apps, as you might assume, would be, there are a lot of them that would be able to take advantage. The update will switch on Pixel Visual Core and is rolling out over the next few days.
Yeah, WhatsApp, Instagram.
A relief to a bunch of people who were like, this is so cool, why don't you enable it?
WhatsApp, Instagram, and Snapchat got early access to it. That's why they're the launch partners. But yeah, now any developer can take advantage of it. And it was only available in the camera app. You could use it. It was there. But it was the weirdest thing. They didn't announce this as part of the Pixel announcement. They announced it a couple weeks after they announced the Pixel. Then they only put it in the camera app. And then they announced that it would be available for third-party devs and put it into beta, but only limited partners. Now it's finally all out there. And it's a pretty cool thing because it saves you battery life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure what the reasoning was behind, I mean, I guess it just wasn't ready. So they didn't want to come out, you know, all splashy until people were already like, oh, the Pixel 2 is a cool phone anyway. Oh, and then there's this other thing that's going to be enabled eventually. But yeah, I mean, anything that gives me the experience of all the cool things about a camera app and a third party app is just better.
This would not explain leaving it out of the launch, but one could make an argument that Google wanted you to use the Google Photos app and use the Google Android camera, and so they limited who else could use it so that your best pictures that were the easiest on your battery came from within Android. I always look at those things and think it's usually a side effect that they don't mind, not a strategy. And I don't think their strategy would have been to leave people out of the camera or leave people out of this if there wasn't another engineering reason, like you said.
Yeah, it probably just wasn't ready for prime time. But yeah, hey, Pixel 2, send us your photos.
The Wall Street Journal noted that Apple is reporting a faster music subscriber growth rate in the U.S. than Spotify, at least according to the information Wall Street Journal is able to glean. If the current rates continue, Apple Music will pass Spotify in the U.S. sometime this summer. So I can't decide, Sarah. Should I be shocked because, hey, Apple builds Apple Music into every iPhone or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole sort of like people are using the app that's easiest for the Apple ecosystem, myself included, is like, okay, that makes sense. Spotify is also has huge international numbers. It was also here before Apple Music.
Yeah.
And is also not a US company. So there are a lot of reasons I'm like, oh, okay, it would make sense that Apple Music is gaining ground. Spotify still has more US subscribers than Apple Music. The fact that Apple Music is catching up is not like, if it was like overall worldwide numbers, I'd be like, interesting.
Yeah.
But this just seems like a market where maybe Spotify is, they've never really been, I don't know, that focused on the US market.
I mean, there was a big deal when they finally arrived here. I remember the years before they came. But I think it's easy to misinterpret what you just said, even though what you just said, I think, is absolutely right. They're not focused. It's not that they don't care about the U.S. market. They care deeply about the U.S. market. It's a huge music market, but it's not their only market.
Right. And it wasn't their first either. It was an important market. Yeah, I mean, if the trend continues and Apple Music is gets bigger than Spotify as far as U.S. numbers go, and it might be as soon as the summer, that's significant, right? Because then you have to be like, all right, well, how do you know these markets are? You know, if you're really losing ground in a certain market, you have to pay attention to that. But Spotify's numbers are so much bigger than Apple Music's numbers right now.
Overall,
yeah.
This is the unthinkable, right? I think a lot of people saw Apple Music come into this market and said, that's interesting. They'll never be able to catch Spotify. There are so many other Google Play Music or YouTube Music or Deezer or Tidal or Amazon. You know, the list goes on and on and on. How can they ever distinguish themselves? And so now at the point, we got to the point where, is it because they're built into the iPhone? Or, you know, is it beyond that? I mean, you can get Apple Music on Windows. You can get it on Android.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the fact that Apple Music is like an app that's just sort of bundled into, you know, iOS, at least for me, and certainly on iTunes, is like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, so much it being Apple's proprietary option has that much to do with it?
I wonder how many people are dual subscribers where they're like, I have Spotify because I love Spotify, but Apple Music is in something that I use. Maybe it's my watch. Maybe it's a HomePod. Maybe it's something else. And I feel like I kind of have to subscribe to it too. to get the best use of my device.
I can't imagine how many people would be paying like $8 for both when they're really the same service. Yeah, there's like a exclusive album that might drop on one or the other and like you get it for a week, but I don't know anybody who's like, I want the same experience and pay double.
Well, it's a different experience. That's my point though, is like, oh, I've got Spotify, but I can't put my Spotify music in this part of iOS and this little Apple feature.
Yeah, no, I mean, true. I would think for the most part, someone would be like, well, I'll just choose the one that's best for me, not both.
Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines at dailytechheadlines.com. You can also get it on the Amazon Echo, the Google Home, and in the Anchor app. And that's a look at our top stories. We got one other story we want to talk about, though. Former employees of Facebook and Google, as well as a few other companies, are creating the Center for Humane Technology. So these are folks that were early employees at Silicon Valley startups that are no longer at those startups and feel like what these companies do that they helped build is dangerous. They're focusing a lot on kids, but they're really talking about everyone. Tristan Harris, former Google ethicist, heads the group. They're doing anti-tech addiction lobbying, an ad campaign called The Truth About Tech that they want to run in 55,000 public schools in the U.S. in cooperation with Common Sense Media. They're modeling it on anti-smoking campaigns. Dangers highlighted include depression from heavy social media use. They also plan what they call a ledger of harms, which is to provide data on the health effects of different technologies and ways to make products healthier. They're focusing on four levels. They want to inspire more humane design. Instead of designing products to trick you into clicking so that you can monetize it, they want to encourage design that keeps people mentally healthy. They want to apply political pressure to do this. They want to create a cultural awakening, a la the anti-smoking campaign. And they want to engage employees at companies to say, hey, you should be pressuring your bosses to do what's right. What do you think of this, Sarah?
Well, so I was thinking about this earlier. It's like, it's very hard to compare something like internet usage and possible abuse or harmful usage with something like smoking, right? Like everyone knows is like, smoking is bad. Like spread the word, it's bad. And then you have something that's like alcohol or gambling, where it's like generally accepted, but we as a society have decided that like, if you're under 21, you have no business doing it because you won't be able to make good decisions. And then even afterwards, there are behavioral triggers that would be cause for concern. So I was like, what are the qualifiers for social media usage? It can't just really be time spent on a computer because that's not necessarily like detrimental. It's more of like, what are you doing? What are the behaviors that you're doing over and over? Is it obsessive? Is it, you know, wasteful? It would be very hard for me to like know how to argue what's good and bad because everybody's different.
I think there's something that could be very good here, or this could be a bunch of millionaires and billionaires because they cashed out early trying to busy themselves. And I actually don't think it's that second, but it could inadvertently become that. My biggest problem, and you sort of touched on it just now, with this website is that it really doesn't have any stats. It doesn't cite any research. Actually, it has plenty of stats. You know, YouTube automates billions of videos and this and that. The Center for Humane Technology, you can go to the website. It's at humanetech.com. It doesn't cite any studies. And this is my biggest problem with these kinds of setups. And I've talked about this with fake news, which is not that it's not a problem. I absolutely believe, just given my anecdotal observations of friends and family and some of the psychological research out there, that this is a problem. What I see in humanetech.com, though, is the danger of going down the route of, we know it's a problem, so let's fight it, which ends up sometimes causing more harm than good if you don't determine what the actual problem is. So if you go to humanetech.com, they have a lot of stats about how many videos are out there, or how many times people check social media a day. There's a lot of implicit, and we all know that's bad. but there's not a lot of evidence of it's bad because of this. Maybe checking social media 105 times a day isn't bad if you're only checking certain types. And that's what we need to know, because if you want to have this humane design, then you want to encourage people to do design to push you to check that way, not the way that makes you feel bad because you're feeling like your life isn't as good as someone else's.
And it's, you know, it's sort of like saying, like, go outside and, you know, throw the ball around, get off the computer. It's like, well, that's not the answer for every kid. You know, everybody's different. If we're talking about kids, especially, what if you have, you know, a Twitter feed that's all like this day in history information, you're actually learning something. It's being on social media is not itself an issue. Like the company is saying, we're providing access to a lot of stuff that's going to fry your brain. And now we're concerned. But yeah, what's the first step?
Yeah. And you know? I have hope that they'll go to the first step correctly, that this is so early and that's why they don't have a lot of research up yet, because they did talk about this ledger of harms where they would cite research. They're supporting a bill from Senator Edward J. Markey that would commission research on technology's impact on children's health. I think if properly designed, that's excellent. That's exactly what you should do. Find out what the problem is. There's a bill in the California State Senate which would prohibit the use of digital bots without identification. I'm not sure that seems like, you know, fixing a loose screw with a hammer, possibly. But the upshot of this is when you know that eating bad will make you gain weight and make you unhealthy, telling you to ban food is not the answer. And fad diets are not the answer, because they'll end up not really working and you'll just go back to eating all the bad food again. You need to figure out, okay, what's the balance of good food and my own psychological makeup that will help me eat better? And nutritionists haven't even figured that out yet. This is so brand new in technology that there's a lot of work to be done to find out, okay, what about social media use causes the depression? And what about it doesn't? And what can we do so that that impulse to check does not override the knowledge that it's bad? Just telling somebody something's bad is not going to make them stop doing it.
Well, and it won't be bad in the same way for everybody, right? Like, there are people who are predisposed to certain emotions or certain, you know, moods or whatever. That's not going to be just like a blanket thing for everyone. Being on the internet a lot is like not necessarily going to make you depressed. But again, there's like, there needs to be identified triggers like, this is a thing that happens to people and it's happening to you and it's bad.
Yeah.
It's not like if you use the internet, you're going to be stupid.
No, exactly.
It's more nuanced.
Yeah. And I think raising the awareness of it is actually a big step. And maybe that's their point right now, is let's just keep people thinking about it so that when they pick up their phone, they think, well, wait a minute, why am I doing it right now? Do I really need to see something, or is this going to drive me crazy? And having awareness about the actions you take sometimes is more than 50% of the battle in stopping it from being harmful for you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow.
Let's check in with Nate Langson from the UK's Tech Message podcast to find out what animals he's covering. I said animals.
Thanks, guys. This week, we discussed facial recognition for cows. Yes, cows, as in moo. That's because an Irish company, which developed a way to recognize and identify cows based on appearance in order to track things like food intake and behavior, has taken investment from one of the US's biggest meat processors. And so the tech designed for cows may begin to work for pigs, chickens, and more. Learn more on this week's text message at techpodcast.uk.
Facial recognition for cows.
Love it.
That's amazing. Too bad that it's Cargill. Not the author of Doctor Strange, but the meat processor that wants to do it. All right, let's check the mailbag, Sarah.
Got an email from Frederick, the eBay engineer, as he describes himself. Says, one point you didn't bring up regarding eBay's move to Adyen for processing payments is the fact that Adyen, from looking at their website anyway, prides themselves on being able to integrate with the most popular local payment methods worldwide, like Alipay and WeChat Pay in China and Pay by Links in Poland, to pick just two countries that they list on their site. These sorts of integrations might be more difficult with PayPal. Just Google can PayPal accept WeChat Pay, and you'll see what I mean. Having better local payment options would make it easier for eBay to enter these markets by making it easier for customers there to make purchases.
Thank you, Frederick. That's good info. Appreciate it, Frederick.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
And thank you, everyone who supports this show. It's the beginning of the month where there's always a drop off as patrons' algorithms kind of try to estimate whose credit card got declined and whose didn't, and all of that sort of thing. So don't panic if you look at our page, but do keep your pledges up and do help us try to make our way towards a couple of goals. One is always having at least one more patron than the previous month, which last month we did times 29, which is amazing. But also to get us to the next goal. We don't want to just get this number back up to where it should be to have Sarah on the show. And Sarah's not going away. It's fine. We want to get it 2,000 more so we can do the roundtable show more than once a month. Those roundtable shows are more substantive. You get more ideas. You get more understanding out of them. So if you are at all able to support us and you haven't already, check it out at patreon.com/DTNS.
Love your support. We also love your feedback. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at both alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com.
Back tomorrow with Brett Rounceville, a.k.a. Amtrucker. Talk to you then. Woo-hoo.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Well, I missed Veronica, but that was a pretty good show.
I thought so. I know, I'm always like, you know, it's just me and Tom. And Roger, of course. Yeah, although Roger didn't say anything on the show. But well, yeah, it's good.
I didn't say anything because I like noticed on the couple of them, it's like, oh, it's running long. If I say something, I'll make it longer. So I was like, I better.
Well, because I'm always worried. It's like, it's not that we don't have stuff to say, but I'm like, is it going to be just a short show? But we just worked it out.
I was wondering if this one would be like 27 instead of 32, but it ended up being 32. So
yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because you guys are actually running long. You made it up right at the end.
I think it's because we both were in that mindset. So we kind of just took our
time. Right. Yeah. Like, yeah. And one more thing.
And then, you know, well, that reminds me of when red I was tab, seven. Roger.
You know, everything about social media I remember from TV. TV will rot your brain. You're going to go blind.
And that was another thing I was thinking about because I was trying to make comparisons, right, to talk about during our discussion. It's like, yeah, I mean, there was a time where it was like, if you watch too much TV, you're, you know, wasting away.
Well, okay. So they actually touch on this on their site. They say, well, isn't this the same as everything else? And they say there are differences. It's social media is artificially intelligent. It's 24/7. No other media redefine the terms of our social lives and self-esteem, and it's personalized.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay,
those covers two of those.
TV
covers two of those. It did define who you were based on the channels you were watching.
Not at all the same.
Well, the whole, you know, the TV thing was like, if you watch too much, that's too much passive activity, right? You're not engaging with the world enough. And like the internet doesn't really have that problem. Sure, you could watch like videos and that's technically passive, but
no, they talk of it. Like that's actually
one
of the things.
You're being very interactive, but is it in a healthy interactivity?
One of the things they mention on the site is that you'll be on YouTube and it'll autoplay the next video and you'll end up staying up too late because you can't stop. So they're saying it has all of the problems.
You could say the same thing about a TV channel.
It has all of the problems. They're saying, look, this is at a scale that we've never seen before. Yeah. So I think it is more personalized than television ever was. I think there is more social. I think it is different, but you could say that every time.
Well, I mean,
TV was worse than radio because it was different than radio, because it had pictures, because it.
Well, I remember when the printing press came around and people were complaining that books and especially those pamphlet things were just going to be the end of society.
Exactly. So you have to take that into account, that everyone thinks that the next media revolution is different, that this time it's different. So I a little warning bell went off when I saw that part of their site. But also, when you are an addict, you tend to defend your addiction and say, oh, everybody wants to pick on my favorite thing.
And, you know, this is the thing, though. In many ways, I agree with them. But what I think they should be targeting is more of a critical media, kind of like the how to basically parse the media.
That's a particular slice of it, but that's I think the biggest thing that they should target is overuse. I think there is overuse. I mean, you just see it. People walking down the street, looking at their phone, running into stuff. I have friends and family who I'm trying to have a conversation with, and they can't stop. Right. And It definitely, there are studies that show it definitely causes an uptick in depression. That's early study stuff, though. It's so what we need to do is what Sarah and I were talking about, which is, okay, why is that? What is causing the depression? Because the other side of it isn't take away the phones. That's not the answer. It's figure out what behaviors and what products and their interactions are causing the negative things and work against those while leaving more room for the positive things that we know social media can do. Social media can do a lot of positive things. We need to leave that in there too.
You mentioned being on the phone and people who can't stop. It's like there have definitely been. Stop it.
As if on cue.
That was by mistake, but it was. But there have definitely been times where, you know, I'm sitting across from somebody, you know, at dinner, right? And it's like, depending on who that person is, we're either both looking at our phones. We're talking to each other, not looking at our phones because we have a connection that's like, you know, doesn't require that. But I've definitely had friends be like, Sarah, you know, you're like totally ignoring me and like looking at your phone. It's like making me uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, some depending on who the person is, I'm like, I'm a tech reporter. Like, give me a break. but it's like, okay, maybe I'm fine. But, you know, I'm like negatively affecting somebody because my behavior is making them uncomfortable. It's like, that's something to take into consideration. Even if no one's wrong, it's, you know, that's not a friendship destroyer necessarily, but it's like, it's not good.
Well, some of this is creating the norms, right? And I love the dinner example is perfect because I feel like Eileen and I have a norm now, which is we sit down, we look at the menu. Once we've kind of said, what are you going to get? Okay, I think I'm going to get this. There's a accepted period where we'll both look at our phones. And they just be like, oh, you know, let me just killing some time. Waiter comes back. We give our orders, takes the menus, and then we talk. Like, it's just a pattern we have. And neither one of us feel like we're being ignored. There's a certain point after dessert. There's kind of like the after dinner checking. Like, okay, now it's time. You can time to check your phone again. But we haven't, you know, that's just between the two of us. That's not a norm that necessarily works for everybody. So I think society has to come up with what are the accepted norms around this sort of thing.
What if you just want to ignore someone and you look down at your phone?
Well, that's not part of the solution or the problem. That's just you using technology to ignore someone. I don't think that fits into the discussion much.
It depends on who you're with. Yeah. You know, people have all sorts of. I do think that, like, if I could think of any time where I'm like, you know, I almost wish I didn't have my iPhone right now because it's a crutch, is like, let's say you go to a party and you don't know everybody and you're kind of like, maybe a little social anxiety. It's like, those are the times where sometimes I'm like, bury yourself in your phone, which is not going to help me have fun at the party and not going to make me like seem cool to anybody else at the party. Stop this. And you know, those are the times where I'm like, you know what? This is something that, like, I've recognized that I sometimes want to do, just like that's my gut, you know, my gut move, but it's not really the right decision for me.
Yeah. I have close people in my life that look at their phones while they're watching television to the point that they will play videos while we're watching a show. And I have to say, please stop playing a video while we're watching another video because I can't hear the video that I'm watching while you're watching another video. And I feel like that's like, come on, put it down. You're either watching this or you're... It's one thing to look up somebody on IMDb, right? Or look at Twitter if you're watching a live event like the Super Bowl. It's another thing to just be like surfing around looking at other things. That's just weird to me.
Yeah. I was when we were watching, when some of us were watching the Super Bowl last night, you know, it's like the, you know, live events are like, that's where Twitter really shines, at least for me. And, you know, I was all excited, you know, and I was like, you know, refresh.
Sure,
anytime
yeah.
anything happens, you know, because I'm like, what's everyone else saying? I have to know, or I'm not having as much fun as I could be having, even though there was a time where you just watched football and liked the commercials.
I spent the Super Bowl text messaging with my mom, my brother, and my sister. My mom and sister in Southern Illinois. My brother's up in Wisconsin. It was so much fun. I didn't end up going on Twitter much because what I usually get from Twitter, I was getting from my family. So it was the most interesting situation of like, I watched the Super Bowl with my family, basically, over text message. And we were all just joking about stuff and remembering our dad. And he was a huge football fan and, you know, things he would do on Sunday and during the Super Bowl. It was fantastic. And it's like that's what I want. That's why I want there to be good research, because that was a positive. That didn't make me feel sad. That made us all feel better and it brought us closer. And we talked about, oh, we need to get together in person soon. Right. So you don't want to lose that. And that was me using my device. That was me using my technology. You want to figure out like, okay, what are the bad behaviors so that we can guide people and say, if you find yourself doing this, that's going to lead you to feel worse about yourself. You know, try not to do that. And then you can ask companies like, hey, maybe design things so that doesn't encourage that.
I just don't know how a lot of these, you know, it's like the New York Times article on this discussion, you know, mentioned something like, you know, Facebook's like, you know, now it's this ubiquitous way to, you know, give somebody a little, you know, just a little boost. I liked that. It's like, okay, well, is that too much? You know, does that kind of like throw us out of whack somehow? Facebook's not going to be like, you know what, we care about the kids, no more likes. So,
well,
you know, it's like, how do you walk it back when we're so used to the way things were?
But this is why you need to research it, to be like, okay, liking things doesn't ruin people's lives. But this usage of liking or this implementation leads to it being bad. Could you please implement it this way? And if they're like, well, no, that'll hurt our money, then you can start raising awareness and like, hey, this is a dangerous thing. Mm-hmm. If you're like, oh, you know what? Turns out liking things isn't the problem. It's sharing things, right? That's why you do the research, to find out, is it the liking or is it some other ancillary thing? Let's actually figure out the problem.
All right, let's also figure out a title.
Oh, I picked Tech Creators Remorse because we were talking so much. I'm already uploading it.
I liked BioCow's Tech Yourself and You May Wreck Yourself.
Or You May Wreck Yourself. Oh, Tech Yourself and? Is it and?
Yeah, it's and. Tech Yourself and You May Wreck Yourself.
And you, I get it. Okay. Any others that caught your eye?
Fighting technology, but that was because I wrote it. and then
it,
I mean, W. Scott Swann put it in the suggestion, but I wrote for the YouTube feed. Glasshole Pardew
for the vaunt.
And this one, an Apple Cisco Alliance. Get it? Alliance, because it's
Lucius Lyons. That it?
Yeah, that's what I picked. Those are the four.
All right. Well, Tech Creator's Remorse
is the one you picked.
Is the one that's done. Going up.
I wonder if they're so remorseful they would give the money back. Not to the company, but to other people who are afflicted by their terrible scourge.
I mean, you're joking, but these folks are putting their own money into this foundation, so the answer is kind of yes.
But won't you be poor? No, I still have lots of stuff.
I mean, they could just use this money to, you know, go on vacations, but they're creating this foundation instead. So if you're going to pick on somebody for that, I don't think these people are the best example of it.
Take you, Vic. This foundation's on the cruise ship.
It's not, though. Remember, we're talking about a real story here, and people may not realize you're joking.
Yes. I was being jestful.
Jestful. I like that.
BioCast said that my title picking was a dictator move, or was it a veto? I like to think of it as a benevolent despotism.
Well, it wasn't a veto because you were, you just, yeah. You know.
A little veto.
Well, was it really benevolent?
Yes, of course it's benevolent. What are you talking about? I wish only the best for all.
Peace and prosperity. Yeah. Give me my milkshake.
What?
Dow Jones suffered the biggest single day point drop in history.
Is it back though?
We were talking about it before the show.
Did it bounce back yet? I heard it was just an early dip.
Well, it has bounced back some, but still a record, I guess.
The CNBC article I read said this is not a serious problem, but it is a psychological problem.
What the
in other words, the dip itself is not an indication of any like weakness in the economy, but the fact that there was a dip could make people think that it's worse than it is.
Well, I mean, that's, you know, finance.
I know, right?
That's the whole reason that, you know, people try to like, you know, figure it out, knowing that there are psychological reasons that people buy and sell things.
Well, you know, the economy is based a lot on psychology. Mostly in psychology.
Everything is based on psychology because we're humans.
Except for the water cycle. That's not based on psychology.
Our perception of it is. Or maybe how much we drink water is based on psychology. Maybe we drink more water than we're supposed to.
I was for a while, and I was going to the bathroom every hour.
Yeah, that's
the thing is, like, I know that supposedly, you know, if you start drinking a bunch of water and you're like, bathroom breaks, though, it's kind of, you know, invasive. Like, you get used to it, and it doesn't happen as often, but I've never found that to be true.
Well, the whole, like, there was that thing going around for years in debate class, you should drink 8 gallons of water a day or whatever it was. I don't
glass.
Think it was
gallons.
But that's apparently like people are like at best it's an oversimplification. It's probably not even true because it wasn't counting the fact that you get water in everything you eat practically. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I found out was because my wife was on medication and her drinking so much water actually had a negative effect because it was diluting, just flushing it out of her system.
There you go.
Like the doctor's like, yeah, you might want to cut back on the water. But she's like, oh, I had to cut back on the soda and the caffeine, so I just switched to water. It's like, you can't win.
Yeah. I think I was drinking, not so much water that it was adverse, but I think I realized that I always had a glass of water next to me when I'm working, and I was like drinking a couple pints of water in the middle of the day. I'm like, go to the bathroom. I'm like, I don't think I need that much water then. Like, I should probably cut back.
Yeah, for a while.
And see, and I find, you know, I don't dislike drinking water, but it's boring, you know? So I drink kombucha because there's not a lot of sugar, but it tastes like something.
Yeah.
But I drink it because I'm like trying to hydrate myself. Because
it's got all the bubbles.
The same way, and I switched over to LaCroix. The carbonated.
That too. Yeah.
I think this says a lot about our personalities that I just drink water.
Well, I like bubbly.
I need a hit.
I have a bubbly personality, Tom.
I generally drink water. I drink coffee in the morning. I drink water through most of the day, and then whiskey in the evening, or perhaps wine.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. There are times where if someone comes over, I'm like, if it's the morning, I'm like, want some coffee? Got that. Always have that. Do you want water? And that's it.
Drink
those are your
juice
two choices
in
here
the morning.
At my household because I just don't drink juice, and I don't, you know, kombucha is like not.
I drink a lot of juice. I drink a lot of juice in the morning. And then I drink a lot of water during the day, and then I drink my tears at night.
That's why you're so youthful.
Oh, right. I forgot that I put that in my scotch, some of Roger's tears.
All right. Any last words to our amazing audience before I stop the stream?
Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Happy Monday, and have a wonderful week. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
Patrons, you guys rock. Thank you for sticking with us. Here's to a lovely February. Our monthly update is available for you now at patreon.com/DTNS. Goodbye.